Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I got to ask you about your other venture before we get into Auburn for a moment with Adam Schein and CBS and NFL Monday QB with Boomer and Phil Sims. Quite the experience for you. What did it take for you to get into this broadcasting world after playing quarterback for such a long time?
Well, honestly, I'm excited to be on. Honestly, they reached out to me and say, you know, they had kind of heard some things I was doing, and they kind of want to get some younger talent on there with some of the guys that they've already been having for a few years. And so, you know, one of my name kind of came up, and so they kind of interviewed me, and they called me back and let me know that I had gotten the job. So, you know, it's one of those deals, man, where you're on there, you know, 5 to 7 times during the football season, still on the pandemic protocols as of right now, but still, you know, they had the opportunity to get on there and be on there with some elite guys. You know, it means a lot. So, Looking forward to it.
Just so you know, I remember the days when I was considered younger talent. All right, so.
Hey, feel y'all. My dad always tell me, you're as young as you think.
I have to ask, and you understand, obviously, the rigors of playing in the SEC, and because you had a terrific career at Auburn. Bo Nix is in his third year as the starter. His road record, and I'm talking about wins and losses, he's 8 points lower completion, 62% to 54%, and 9 touchdowns and 10 picks on the road. Now, I know obviously opposition means something, no question, but what's the difference in your opinion when you watch Bo Nix playing Jordan Hare versus the one you see on the road?
I'd just say he's more comfortable at home. For whatever reason, when you watch him at home, he just looks like a different guy. You know, he looks like he's more in control of what he's doing. When it comes to, he's more patient. What I mean by that, inside the pocket, he doesn't run and escape as fast as he would when he's on the road. I just think for him, it's also just a point of just trying to mature. I think for him coming out of high school, he was a guy that was highly talented coming out of high school, and most of the time he created a lot of plays with his legs and with his running ability and getting outside the pocket and making those throws. And I think that kind of carried over to Auburn. You know, he didn't have the opportunity to redshirt for a year and get worked with in order to get some of those, you know, habits away from him. He continued to do those habits within his first year, the second year. And like we said before, you know, you don't have to win every play. You know, just make sure that you're not trying to do too much. Sometimes doing too much can cause issues, can put you behind the ball as far as staying on schedule and offense. So I think that's something he's learned so far in playing these first two games. You know, let's face it, yes, we haven't played superior opponent these first two games. It's been basically, you know, build-up games for this game. So, but there can come confidence out of that, watching him go from first progression to second progression and third progression. So, you know, a year ago where he kind of escaped before he gets to the second progression. So he is maturing and fixing some things as a quarterback. And I think Mike Bobo coming in as new offensive coordinator is really working with him on that and trying to help get him to the next level.
Jason, it's interesting because everybody works, as I've mentioned a million times in the show, in their own clock. You know, suddenly things kick into gear faster for some people than others. The speed of the game, how long did you feel comfortable in the speed of the college game when you were at Auburn in the early 2000s? How long did it take you? And then when you went to the next level with Washington, how long did it take to get the feel for the speed of the game?
Yeah, for me coming out, probably after my freshman season, going into my sophomore season, probably midway through my sophomore season is when I really, like, gained so much confidence coming into that year. And in the NFL, I would probably say my first year I didn't get a chance to play a lot. So right. My first year I came in, I kind of sat behind Mark Brunell, and he kind of taught me a lot about the game as far as, like, how to study and prepare, how to get yourself mentally locked in week in and week out, and how to keep tunnel vision, you know, not let the outside noise, you know, block you from what you're trying to achieve, and to understand there's going to be adversity, you know, at the position, because it's the hardest position to play in all of professional sports. So, you know, for me, it was just about getting comfortable and just, the hardest part for me, guys, honestly, was I couldn't keep a coordinator longer than 2 years.
Yeah,
you know, like,
right.
Every time you get to the point where you feel like, oh, you're next level, all of a sudden you got to start all the way back over. So for Bo, fortunately, You know, he had Gus the first 2 years and then this year, I think it's helping him mature more because he's getting a chance to do things he's never done before. He's always been a shotgun quarterback, and now he's going under the center 50% of the time during the games. And now he's seeing football from a different eye level than just being a shotgun all the time, which changes the launch point for him as a quarterback, which puts more pressure on defenses.
All right, so in watching Auburn the first two games, my broadcast partner for Penn State football is Jack Hamm. And Jack and I were talking earlier in the week. We don't really know what to watch because it's not like I can rack up, as you mentioned, Gus Malzahn. We can rack up a tape from last year, kind of get a feel for what Gus wants to do and why. It's a new coaching staff with these players. So what's your read on Auburn so far?
Yeah, that's the hard part. I was just talking to one of my teammates on my podcast earlier. I was saying, guys, I say the hardest part about the first week we play against Akron, and it doesn't matter who you're playing the first game, usually there are false starts or penalties or those certain things. And there was no false starts. There was no penalties for real. There was no turnovers. The game was very clean. Bo was 20 or 22. And the game was just played very clean. And I'm just like, wow, you know, that takes a lot of discipline, a lot of preparation and everything. So then to come into this week, this past week game against Alabama State, it was the total opposite. You know, the first half, you know, we had penalties, we had drop passes, we had, you know, turnovers that was close to being turnovers. I mean, no, not turnovers, but they was close to being turnovers. And then, you know, we just did everything opposite than we did the first week. And then you scratch your head and be like, okay, put yourself in their shoes. And you think like, okay, these 18 to 22-year-old kids, they know what's ahead. They know the Penn State game is next week. And I just like, I don't know if they got caught just focusing, looking forward to the Penn State game because the Akron game is the first game of the season. So you just decided to be back to playing football in front of fans. But this game kind of got caught in the in-between, the big game. And you know, whatever Coach Harsin said to them at halftime, in the second half, they fixed all of that. They came out in the third quarter, scored 35 points, and just started. And they looked like a totally different football team they did the first half. So I would say the first half was just lack of focus, which is something you can learn from and put that on tape, and now you can go back and correct it before you head into the Penn State game. But I'm just like you guys. I'm still trying to figure out where are we, because it's hard to judge Bo as a quarterback off the first two games. You know, I'm a realist. I'm like, okay, we played an Akron team as a 1-8 team. Right. You know, play the Alabama State team that you're supposed to dominate. Like, if you don't, then we have more problems than we thought. So, Penn State game is a pivotal, pivotal game for us because it's going to show us where we are from a player standpoint. And for Bo, has he matured enough to be able to handle hostile environments on the road? And that's the next thing for him is how he can perform on the road.
Well, now let me ask you about the environment on the road, because this is a little different dynamic. And I'm not talking about the whiteout. That's not what I'm talking about. This would be a standard question no matter what the attire is on Saturday night. Auburn hasn't played a true road game since, I think, late October 2019. It's been 22 months since they've had to do this. And it's not like the kind of game Brian Harsin's had to coach in when he was at Boise State. With that kind of, what does that take communication-wise in an environment when you haven't been used to doing it on a regular basis?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. And like you said, that's not about the whiteout because, like I said, we play at some challenging stadiums. But the most part is, like you were saying, is it is a communication thing. For Coach Harsin, you know, this is his first time in the SEC. And Coach Harsin even said in his SEC media days that, you know, this is like a dream job. You know, you take a job like this because you're going to get a chance to play against elite talent. You're going to get a chance to play in elite stadiums, and the pressure goes up. So, you know, as a coach, this is a game that he probably wants to win in every kind of way. And the reason is, if you're a new coach and you're coming from the West Coast or the Midwest and you're coming to the SEC, you know, in order to get these kids to fully, fully buy in, you win a game like this, and now they completely buy in. So I think this is a very pivotal game for him in that aspect and as a coaching staff. Now, for the players, when it comes to communication part on the field, that's a key. Like, it's something to not to be taken for granted. You know, you see this at every level, how noise can be a huge issue. I mean, a huge effect, because if you're the home team, it helps your adrenaline motion gets going. You feed off of that. If you're the away team, if you start to unravel a little bit, it can go onto a downward spiral. So it's so important that you that as an offensive lineman that you're not listening to hear from the quarterback for a cadence, which a lot of these teams don't do cadences no more. They do the hand clap anyways.
Right.
So, you know, for a receiver, it's keeping your eyes on the ball, not trying to look at the quarterback and see what he's anticipating to snap, but you just keep your eyes on the ball, and when the ball is snapped, then you go. So there's just things that you have to understand for his communication and for like the quarterback. If you're going to go no huddle, you have to be very precise on your signals that you're giving, because the guys have got to make sure everyone sees the signals and get set and get on the ball, because you're going against a play clock and you can't get delay of games and be first and 15 or third and 7 or more, and the crowd noise is just crunk up. Because, and the biggest thing for me, if we had a veteran football team, it wouldn't bother me as much. The only thing that concerned me is we are very young at the receiver position.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Shedrick Jackson, but he hasn't caught more than 7 balls in the season to this year in
right.
the first game. So, and Demetrius Robinson, but everybody else are young guys. So that's the part that concerns me, is seeing how those guys can communicate with Bo in that environment.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, it's not as if Bo Nix hasn't started a game in Tuscaloosa, 101,000 fans,
mm-hmm.
Tiger Stadium, Saturday night, LSU. He's done that before. My issue, like if I'm thinking about it from their point of view, is they haven't done it in almost 2 years. That's a long
right.
period of time to not be, quote, used to it. How well does this Auburn defense run?
Well, I think that's the strength of our team.
Yeah.
I know we have a strong run game, but I really think the strength of our team is our defense. You look at our linebacker core, Owen and McClain, like Papo McClain, those two guys, you know, they've been together now. Like, it's probably the best tandem in the SEC as far as, like, the experience and the way these guys can run. We're a fast defense. Like, there's always 4 to 5 guys to the ball. Coach Derek Mason came from Vanderbilt.
Yep.
He's a very high-energy guy. And that's one thing he always talks about, getting guys to the ball. And they do that very well. And when I think about, you know, our back end, it's probably the deepest we've been, you know, with Roger McCreary and Nehemiah Prickett. And then you get the transfer and Drayshon Miller. We haven't seen much of him yet.
And
but,
Smoke Monday. You know, Smoke's a good Smoke player,
Monday,
too.
Yeah, the best name probably in college football.
Yeah, that's
you know,
the best
Monday,
name.
Like,
yeah, it is.
Right. Yeah, I have all kind of smoked sausage deals without him on the NIL part. But, you know, that's where I think our bread and butter is, our second level and third level guys. I think our front is better getting Kobe Wooten back and those guys, but you know, you lose a big guy like Truesdale up front before the season starts. But then you get Tony Fair, who's think about this guy, he's been in college for 7 years. You
yeah.
know, could you imagine? So, but he's a big guy. So I think we're still a work in progress up front, just getting used to a 34 defense and not your basic 4-3 defense.
Yeah.
I think the guys are still learning that part, but I like the way we run to the football.
Tank Bigsby was a highly recruited running back, and he has fulfilled a lot at Auburn. What do you like about him as a back?
Just his overall toughness. Now, that can go with his own Achilles heel sometimes, because he needs to learn when to go down sometimes. There have been times in these first two games, there's 3-4 guys holding on to him, and he's still trying to get 3-4 yards, and he's already past the first down marker. You got to understand, it's a long season. Protect yourself best as you possibly can. And, you know, guys coming in low on him when he's already got 3 hanging on him, you know, I think he needs to learn that part of just when to say, okay, I got enough, on to the next play. But he's a strong guy. He can run. He's tough. He has great vision as a back. I think his next level thing for him is in pass protection. Like, once he really honed in on pass protection, he can really be a 3-down solid every down back. But this guy's tough. You know, he's not an easy guy to bring down coming out of high school. You know, we knew he was a big-time guy. And with the name Tank, he kind of fits who he is. You know, he's a Tank. Like, we have some of the best nicknames.
Yeah.
But it kind of fits him. Now, I would probably say the guy that can help us the most in this game is Sean Shivers. You know, we didn't have him last week. I'm still not sure what's the
right.
You know, what's his protocol yet. But this guy, he runs hard.
Yeah.
And, everybody remember the hit he ran through the guy from Alabama 2 years ago.
Yep.
But he's a tough guy, and he's so short, you can't see him behind the offensive line. So, you know, Penn State with big linebackers that they have, you know, they want to be able to see the guy so they can feel the gap. When you can't see him, and this thing, he's up on you, it's not fair. But, you know, we'll see what his status is. But I just think from an overall standpoint, I think we're pretty good at running back position, especially with our young kid, Hunter, that we picked up from Mississippi. young kid come in, and he's had a stellar start to his career as a freshman.